Paul Plakas from Custom Fit. Want to look good, eat good, feel good? Go to customfit.ca. I'll help you out. Plakas, how you doing?
Gregor, doing fantastic, buddy.
All right, man. Lots of things to discuss. And we got these today's kind of our listener mailbag from questions we've had over the last few weeks when we have a topic and then people want to kind of expand on it. So here's a few things. This one from Brendan. What do you think of the alkaline diet? And yeah, first of all, explain what it is.
Yeah, okay, sure. So that's like a diet. It's based on the belief that certain foods affect the acidity and the pH of your bodily fluids like urine and your blood. So, for example, like meats, cheeses, grains tend to make the body more acidic, so it lowers the pH. And the scale is basically really from 0 to 14. The human body is naturally between 7.35 to 7.45. If you eat more of a plant-based diet, like lots of fruits and vegetables, it makes your body more alkaline or gives it a more of a higher pH. And it's thought that diseases such as cancer is more prevalent in bodies that are more acidic. So what the diet does is it focuses more on trying to remove lots of meats, grains, dairy from your diet, gives you more of a plant-based diet, is changing your the alkaline or the acidity of the diet. So what I kind of looked up about it is that generally, if your body is out of the 7.35 to 7.45 range, you're basically dead. The body has a natural tendency to stay in that, you know, in that balanced small little range there. And really, food doesn't change that range in your blood. Some people who test their urine with these with the strips, they may notice a pH slightly changing higher or lower, but that can be affected by a lot of things. But your diet doesn't really affect the pH of your blood, so it doesn't really matter that way. But of course, eating a lot more plant-based diet, like fruits and vegetables, is a good thing, but I wouldn't worry about trying to measure what your pH of your body is.
Okay. And this one comes from Louie. How much does he have to suffer for exercise to be beneficial?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, the old no pain, no gain adage there. Some interesting information on that. Really, if your goal is to improve performance and your fitness level, higher intensity workouts do that the best. There actually was even a nice little documentary, not so much a documentary, a little story on the Fifth Estate, that they did a study where just for general health, if you want to have good cardiac health, like so there's no disease, avoiding diabetes, keeping your blood pressure in the normal range, they did a study that showed just even 3 minutes of high-intensity exercise three times per week is all you needed for just general overall health. And it was the intensity of the exercise was like an absolute max effort. So they had people riding a bike. So it would be full out, everything you've got for like 30 seconds to a minute, you would recover and then do that three times. And they said that showed quite a bit of benefits for just general prevention of disease. So it really comes down to intensity level. And also the only thing there is you have to be careful of is too high of an intensity, people generally don't like that, so they avoid it. The human body is designed to avoid pain and seek pleasure. So if it gets too hard, people probably won't repeat that too often. So you have to sort of find a good balance between the two.
It is interesting. We talked about that three-minute workout before, and I was kind of impressed that it's something that you can incorporate every now and then, but it's you got to go max effort. It's not just getting on the treadmill and walking for 3 minutes. It's all out.
Full-on sprint to like a bear is chasing you for about 30 seconds to a minute, and then you would do that three times. So it's very, very intense. I guess it's for people who are a little bit time-crunched, and their concern is more just general overall health. It wouldn't do too much for if you're overweight or have body fat level issues and stuff like that. So for that part of it, you need more duration and time spent, and then also focusing on the diet is really the most important thing there.
And the other thing, realistically, it's not like you could just be sitting down and then try to run as fast as you can for a minute because you'd likely pull something because your body wasn't warmed up.
You'd probably hurt yourself if you're not conditioned to it. But, of course, even people who are very grossly overweight, they probably wouldn't run anyways. They would even a fast walk for them would probably be a max effort, right? They wouldn't even be able to get into a run.
This one comes from Bruce. Do you have any tips on getting a spouse motivated to lose weight? Mine is slowly creeping up much higher than I ever expected. What do you think?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it can be tough. in that situation, because you know, you don't ever want to shame somebody's body image, because the last thing you want to do is, you know, make fun of them and say, oh, hey, you probably don't need that dessert, or maybe you should only eat half of that, or that kind of thing. So what you want to do is you want to focus on trying to more like inspire the person to become self-motivated to change, rather than shaming them and, you know, kind of making fun of them. Hey, those pants are looking really tight on you. Well, I don't know any sane man that would do that anyways, but so the key is, you want to be a good role model yourself, so you can never, if your spouse is trying to lose weight, ordering pizza and fast food into the house while they're trying to manage a good eating plan is not a good idea. Trying to do something together with them that's active at their intensity level, so it can't be your intensity level. So if all they can manage is like a fast walk around the block, then so be it. So doing something together, being a good role model, that kind of thing, and then really lots of inspiration and letting them become self-motivated themselves. So as the changes begin to occur, hopefully they're going to want to have more and more because they like what they see themselves. So you got to be careful with that.
That's definitely a fine line.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, Oren read an article that said exercise plays a minimal role on weight loss, like 5%. True or false?
Yeah, I actually read some of this research out there. And then, so what they mean by that is that in the whole scheme of things, where exercise ranks as the important part to weight loss is lower than what we thought. Because if you go and exercise for an hour, the average person, you know, if you're a male or female, is going to burn somewhere between 300 to 500 calories in an hour of exercise. And then you could easily eat that in about 3 minutes with like a few bites of a cheesecake. So when it comes to, you know, expending calories for, you know, for fat reduction, it's really about watching what you put into your body. That's the most important thing. So, of course, exercise has a whole bunch of other benefits, like it improves your fitness level, gives you good health, and improves your stamina. So you're more likely to do more things in your day if you have a higher fitness level. So it can help long term. But yeah, in the short term, the focus really should be as what am I eating, how many calories am I consuming, and also not so much what I'm doing for 1 hour of exercise in my day, but what am I doing the other 23 hours? That's sort of the need non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So it's really your daily activity and movement throughout the other hours of your waking time. Because a lot of people, they'll exercise hard for an hour, but then they'll maybe sit around on the couch or at their computer the rest of the day because they feel like they've done enough, and that sort of negates everything.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Now I got one other quick one for you. So when you try to combine all the interesting things, but obviously diet is the number one thing when it comes to actual weight loss. But I want to talk about, we focus so much on weight. When shouldn't we focus on inches lost rather than weight loss?
Yeah, absolutely, Gregor. Because if you jumped on a scale, it could indicate, you know, a 5 pound increase in your weight in your day. Like I could be 5 pounds lighter in the morning than I am in the afternoon. I didn't gain 5 pounds of body fat in that day. It's basically a measurement of your fluid fluctuation. So you're about 80% water weight in your body. So if you're just using the scale to determine your weight, that's not a good indicator. Because we've had, you know, we've seen mixed martial arts fighters lose 15 to 20 pounds of water in a 24-hour period to make weight for their fight, and then they put that water weight right back on by eating and drinking. So it really becomes to inches lost. Fat takes up 18% more room than muscle does. So yeah, noticing an inches drop means pretty well that you are losing body fat around your body and your circumferences in your arms, legs, abdomen area.
So what is it? Fat takes up 18%.
Less. Makes up 18% more space. Muscle takes 18% less space. So if you had a pound of muscle and you had a pound of fat, then the muscle would be more dense. So it takes up 18% less room than fat does. So that's why a lot of people who are heavier and they've lost inches as well, but they're heavier on the scale, they probably put on some muscle because they've lost inches. So the scale doesn't know if it's muscle weight or fat weight.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you put a pound of muscle and a pound of fat side by side, the fat would look 18% bigger.
Interesting. And that's, I think that's important for a lot of people because they get infatuated with the scale and they
Absolutely.
Don't realize that sometimes things might be working well. Like you got to measure your inches first, especially around your belly button. That's the most obvious, easy place to start. And
yep.
if you start shrinking there, there's a much better chance you're on the proper road to health. Of course,
yeah,
as long as of course you're not starving yourself. Right?
Yeah, I would agree with that totally. And also the key with that too, so people don't get frustrated, is that when you are doing the measurements, you should probably go to somebody who knows exactly where to landmark, because where you take it, it has to be done the same way and with the same type of tension in that tape. Because a lot of people can get frustrated because maybe the first time they held it more tight or more loose and they got all this great work, but it doesn't show on the tape as well. You need to be very consistent with that too.
Blackus, always good to talk to you, man. I appreciate it. Maybe we'll have a 100-meter race sometime soon.
I heard you did pretty good.
Yeah. So all I know is I'd kick your ass. So
I think it'd be close.
Well, hey, anytime.
All right, buddy.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Paul Blackus from Custom Fit. Want to look good, eat good, feel good? Go to CustomFit.ca.